The Qualities of Love, Part 2, as we consider verses 4 and 5 of 1 Corinthians 13. We'll not be reading around. I will mention some other connected references, but I will only mention those as they pertain to this topic. But now we begin the is not list. Love is not jealous. This is the first of 8 negative references to this description of love. Love is not jealous. Love and jealousy are mutually exclusive. Where one is, the other cannot be. Shakespeare called jealousy the green sickness. It has also been called the enemy of honor and the sorrow of fools. Jesus referred to it as an evil eye in Matthew 20, verse 14. Jealousy or envy can have 2 forms. There is the form that says, you have something that I want. I want that thing. I want what someone else has. They might have a better car than we have. They might receive praise for something they do. We want that for ourselves. We covet that. Now, that sort of jealousy is bad enough, but a worst kind says, I wish they did not have what they have. Take a look at Matthew 20, the first 16 verses, as a reference for that. The second sort of jealousy is more than selfish. It actually desires evil for someone else. It is, we might say, jealousy on the deepest level. It is jealousy on the deepest, most corrupt, and destructive level. This is the jealousy Solomon uncovered in the woman who pretended to be a child's mother. Remember that story? When her own infant son died in the night, she secretly exchanged him for the body of a friend who was staying with her. The true mother discovered what had happened. The dispute was taken before the king. He ordered that the child be cut in half. You can each have half. We'll just slice it in two. Half be given to each woman. And of course, the true mother of the child pleaded for the baby to be spared, even if it meant losing him to the other woman. The false mother, however, would rather have had the baby killed than have the true mother have her child. 1 Kings 3, 16 through 27. One of the hardest battles a Christian might fight is the battle against jealousy. There is always someone who is a little better off or potentially better than you are. We all face temptation to jealousy when someone else does something better than we do. The first reaction of the flesh is to wish that person ill. The root meaning of zelo, Z-E-L-O-O in the Greek, to be jealous, is to have a strong desire. And it's also the term where we get our word zeal. It's used favorably and it is used unfavorably in the scripture. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, the meaning is clearly unfavorable. That is why 1 Corinthians 12:31, part of the immediate context, should be taken as a statement of fact. You are now earnestly desiring the greater, showier gifts, and not as a command to seek these supposed greater gifts. The Greek word translated earnestly desire in 1 Corinthians 12:31 is the same word that is translated as is jealous in 13 and 4. One of the basic principles of hermeneutics or interpretation of the scripture is that identical terms appearing in the same context should be translated identically. And many of you will have a footnote indicating what I've just indicated in your Bibles with those passages. But when love sees someone who is popular, who is successful, who is beautiful, who is talented. Love is glad for them. Love is never jealous or envious. Philippians chapter 1, 15 through 17. When Paul was imprisoned, probably in Rome, some were proclaiming the gospel where Paul had done so already. They were trying to outdo the Apostle Paul out of envy. They were so jealous of Paul's reputation and accomplishments that with their criticism, they intended to cause him additional distress while he suffered in prison. But Paul did not resent their freedom, their success, or even their jealousy. He did not condone their sin. He did not return envy for envy. He was simply glad that the gospel was being preached, whatever the motives of those preachers were. He knew the message was more powerful than the messengers, and it could transcend those weak and jealous preachers in order to accomplish God's purpose. Now, it is important to note here that the only concept that the context will bear in this example, and the only one that can be applied, is the concept of the true gospel that was being preached. Some try to extrapolate from this today and apply this to people preaching various gospels, various doctrines, different versions of Jesus. No, that is not what this is talking about. By comparison, though, today, denominational preachers may sometimes preach the right message, but that does not make them or their organization completely doctrinally right or acceptable. Jealousy is not a moderate or a harmless sin. It was Eve's jealousy of God, basically, sparked by her pride, to which Satan successfully appealed. She wanted to be like God. She wanted to have what God had. Jealousy was an integral part of the first sin from which all other sin has descended. The next sin mentioned in Genesis is murder. What prompted that? It was caused by Cain's jealousy of his brother Abel. Later in the New Testament, it says, why was Cain so angry with his brother? Well, he was angry because Cain's works were righteous. Abel's works were righteous and Cain's own works were evil. So he was jealous. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery because of jealousy. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because of the jealousy of his fellow officials in Babylon. Jealousy caused the older brother to resent the father's attention when the lost son, returned. And there are many more examples we can find in Scripture. Wrath and is fierce and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? The writer says in Proverbs 27 and 4. In its extreme, jealousy has a viciousness that is shared by no other sin. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, says James, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. James 3, 14 through 16. Selfish ambition, which is fueled by jealousy, is often quite clever and very successful. But its wisdom is demonic and its success ultimately is destructive. Examples in Scripture in stark contrast to the many examples of jealousy. Jonathan's love for David. David was not only greater and a more popular warrior than Jonathan, but he was also a threat to the throne that Jonathan should inherit. We're told of nothing but Jonathan's great respect and love for his friend David. For David, Jonathan would not only have to sacrifice his throne, but his life. 1 Samuel 20, verse 17. Jonathan's father, Saul, however, lost his throne and his blessing because of his jealousy, primarily of David, and perhaps also a bit of the prophet Samuel. Jonathan gladly and willingly forsook the throne and received a greater blessing because he would not do anything motivated by jealousy. Eleazar of Damascus, Genesis 15:2. He was heir to Abraham's estate because Abraham had no son. When Isaac was born, however, Eleazar lost that privilege. But his love for Abraham never wavered. Look at Genesis 24. He goes and gets a wife for Isaac. A loving person is never jealous. He is glad for the success of others, even if their success works against their own. Love does not brag. When a loving person is himself successful, he does not boast of it. He does not brag. The word here in the Greek, which we have that means to brag, is used nowhere else in the New Testament. And it means to talk conceitedly. Love does not parade its accomplishments. Bragging is the other side of jealousy. Jealousy wants something someone else has. Bragging is trying to make others jealous of what we have. Jealousy puts others down. Bragging builds the bragger up. Do you like bragging in others? Ironic, then, that we are so inclined to brag ourselves. We're looking at and we're considering these writings of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians in the first letter that we have that is recorded that he wrote to them. I often consider the Corinthians in terms of their spiritual maturity at a level of a teenager, spiritually speaking, at that spot. The Corinthians were spiritual show-offs, constantly vying for public attention. They clamored for the most prestigious offices and the most glamorous gifts. They all wanted to talk at once, especially when they were engaged in this ecstatic utterance that they so enjoyed doing. Most of their tongue speaking was counterfeit, but their bragging was certainly real. They cared nothing for harmony, order, fellowship, edification, or anything else worthwhile. They cared only for flaunting themselves. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Each one did his own thing as prominently as possible in total disregard for what others were doing. Can you imagine that scene? It's no wonder that Paul said, if therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds? 1 Corinthians 14:23. Charles Trumbull, religious author, wrote Through the Gates of Splendor, among others, not to be confused with a book of a very similar title by Elizabeth Elliot, but he once vowed, God give me the strength every time I have opportunity to introduce the topic of conversation, it will always be Jesus Christ. He had one subject that was truly worth talking about. If Christ is first in our thoughts, we cannot possibly brag. C.S. Lewis called bragging the utmost evil. It is the epitome of pride, which this is where it all started, also with Satan. You know, he just tempted Eve with his own faults. He knew just exactly how to push those buttons. Read Isaiah 14, especially verses 13 and 14. Read Ezekiel 28, especially verse 17. This is the root of many types of sins. Bragging puts us first. Everyone else, including God, must therefore be of less importance to us. It is impossible to build ourselves up in this way without putting others down. When we brag, we can be up only if others are down. Jesus was God incarnate, God in the flesh. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. The Word became flesh. God became a man on earth. Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Jesus, who had everything to boast of, never boasted. In total contrast to our Lord and our example, we who have nothing to boast of are inclined to boasting. Only the love that comes from Jesus Christ can save us from flaunting our knowledge, our abilities, our gifts, or our accomplishments, real or imagined. In looking at this section and incorporating a few more lines here, looking at this whole 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, the fullness of love is described in each case by what love does. Love is action, not abstraction. Positively, love is patient with people and gracious to them in kind generosity. Negatively, love never envies or brags or is arrogant, since that is the opposite of selfless love to others. It is never rude or overbearing. Love never wants its own way. It is not irritated or angered in personal offense and finds no pleasure in someone else's sin, even the sin of an enemy. On the positive side, again, as we look, love is devoted to the truth in everything. With regard to the all things within God's righteous and gracious will, love protects, believes, hopes, and endures what others reject. If we're here together again in a future time, we'll consider arrogance and rudeness as we look further at this. For now, we'll close with Hebrews 12:3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. We'll now offer the invitation as we stand and sing.